I'm going to share with you this morning the one that really ministered to me for the past weeks. And let's open our Bible to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And I'm going to read it verse 1 to 31. So you're going to hear my Ilonggo accent this morning. Are you all there? John chapter 20, verse 1. Okay, are you all there? John chapter 20, verse 1. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter. Man, Peter, can you imagine that everybody are running, and then Peter, I'm picturing him that maybe he's kind of heavy set, huh? Because everybody are running, and they outran Peter. So maybe he's kind of heavy set guy, right? And it says, Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb, but were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Verse 10. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As he wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. Woman, he said, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said to her, sir, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Jesus said, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciple with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told him that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed his hand and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciple when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hand and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miracles, signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may believe in life in his name. And shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for these scriptures that you have written so that we may learn and that you may teach us, Lord, what are the hidden things or what shall we do, Lord God, that we may be perfect in your sight. And we ask all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Can you remember what we celebrate last Sunday? Anybody? Easter. Good. Easter or Resurrection Sunday, right? Oh, anniversary too. That's our 19th anniversary. But really, the one that I'm going to share with you, Sunday is a Resurrection Sunday or an Easter Sunday, which is a very significant event in the life of you and me, in the life of Christians, in the life of the believer. And the Resurrection Sunday is a powerful event. It's a miracle event in the life of a Christian, in the life of a believer. And that's why we celebrate that Sunday. The whole world celebrate that Sunday. But do you know that this Resurrection Sunday, the miracle of Resurrection Sunday, is the enemy will stop everything so that you and I could not enjoy, could not experience the miracle of the Resurrection Sunday. Do you know that? That we can say that, you know, we can sing that song, "Alive, alive, alive forevermore. Jesus is alive." You know, we can sing that song and we can say, you know what, I am a Christian. But yet there are things, there are forces that will prevent you of experiencing that miracle or of experiencing the power of the Resurrection Sunday. Amen? There's things. There are miracles. There are forces that will deny you to experience the life that God has given to us. Notice that the last sentence or the last verse of chapter 31, it says, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So have you ever asked yourself that you may have life? That means that without Jesus Christ, there is no life. Do you believe that? That without Jesus Christ, without the Resurrection Sunday, we don't have life. We are dead. We are dead. Right? But because of the Resurrection Sunday, God has given us life. But there are forces, there are things that the enemy will use it to prevent us from having a life and life that is abundant. And that's the three things that I want to share with you this morning. And the title of my message this morning is about a risen Christ. You know, Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we preachers will speak about the cross, right? Because that's a resurrection. And the first one is that three forces hold us back from the miracle of resurrection is sorrow. Sorrow. And that's the first power that God, that Jesus Christ has to confront, sorrow or grief. And notice that in John chapter 10, verse 15, it said, "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" See, he talked to Mary. And Mary, most theologians say that Mary Magdalene is the one that Jesus Christ have to cast out seven evil spirit in there. Seven, not only one. Notice that. Most theologians say Mary Magdalene is the woman that Jesus Christ cast out seven spirit out from her. And this lady lived out there. And she was driven out by the power of darkness. But Jesus has entered her life. Jesus' life was in her. So he was free and she became a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus has a certain number of women along with his mother that goes with the disciple, traveled with the disciple, and part of that ministry of those men, the ministry team of Jesus Christ and his disciples. Cooking their food is the ministry, the women that has followed Jesus Christ. But now Mary coming to the tomb, and Peter and John talk of Mary just sobbing, just crying. Controlled by the sorrow. But now Mary coming to the tomb and there's nobody there. And because Mary was overcome with sorrow. Did you know that sorrow and grief can just absolutely paralyze you? Do you know that sorrow can just you cannot function? People that are overwhelmed with sorrow, the loss of their loved ones, a broken heart, like young women when men, when somebody their boyfriend broke them, you know, they split. There's women that they could not move. They're just paralyzed by sorrow. If a husband walks out, a child who breaks their heart, and they are paralyzed by sorrow. So Mary, her heart was broken because life, the way she figured it out, it won't be the same. She feel like this is the end. The end is this is it, because my master, the one that gave me life, the one that take away the seven spirit in my life, now he is gone and by myself. So he was overcome with sorrow. The one that set her free, who was her teacher, her pastor, the one that she thought that there will be something special for her life. And she seems he's crucified now. And she was once women at the cross crying and weeping while they beat Jesus Christ and hang him in the cross. So all of her dreams was shattered. Have you ever experienced that your dream was shattered? Anybody here that their dreams were shattered? Have you ever had a plan and something happened and it just collapsed? And not only that, when Jesus Christ asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" And she answered, "Jesus, they have taken my Lord away. And I don't know where they put him." In other words, even when he is dead, I felt content and happy as long as I am near with him. Can you have the, can you feel that experience? Can you have the, do you have that experience that even though Jesus Christ is dead, but because I want to be with him, just to be beside him, it's you give life. I mean, and if there's life, amen, because with Jesus Christ, everything is possible. Amen. Now that she does not even know where the Lord is, and that's a picture, I think, that sometimes in our own lives, when the bottom falls out and there's disappointment comes, and you go to some dark valley in your life, and sometimes you will say that, where is the Lord in all of these things? I don't know if you experienced that. You know, when Sister Rose have miscarriage twice, and you came down to your knees, and Lord, where are you? Where are you, Lord, on all of this? I remember one time Pastor Mando called me, and he said, Pastor Ed, in about 2 hours, I'm leaving for Ecuador, and somebody, I don't know, this the woman called in the church, and her husband died, and I could not make it. I could not minister to her, and she wants to have a service, and I'm leaving in about 2 hours. Could you come and minister to her? And I said, you don't know them, and you want me to minister to them? Do you have that feeling that you feel, you know, I don't know it, but sometimes through the heart that God has given you, the compassion, you still go anyway. And I went there. A lot of people, because the husband died, and the husband is, I think he's part of those racing, you know, those part of the team that do the car race in Fontana, race car. And there's a lot of people, and they don't know God, and they don't know anybody that can minister to the dead husband. So I went there, and almost everybody are sobbing, are crying, and you know sometimes I don't know how, you know, what are they going through in their life right now. And do you know that, you know, you know sometimes we come to church, and we dress up like we dress up good, but we don't know what are the things that are going through in their life, right? And one time, Sister Rose and I came in that door, and we are ready to quit, and nobody knows what's going through in our life. Have you experienced that? That you're going through in life, and then people doesn't know what you're going through, right? And the same thing in all our life, we carry the sorrows and nobody knows. But praise the Lord that God, only God knows. Amen. And sometimes sorrow, it comes from our own sin. Right? And if you read David's Psalm 51 and 32 and 34, if you read this penitential psalm, and where David cries out and says, my groaning all night long, sorrow for my sin. See that? There's because the sin that he has. So the reason Jesus told Mary, look at me, everyone, because God's word for us this morning is, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for? In other words, Mary, I'm alive. I love you. And you're not going through by yourself. I am going through with you. Isn't that nice? That it's great that God, you're overwhelmed with sorrow, but God did not leave you. And he's alive. And he gave us life. Amen. Even though you're overwhelmed with sorrow, but God is with you. Amen. So that's the forces that the enemy will just gonna overwhelm us, and that we believe we don't believe that the resurrection Sunday, that Christ raised from the dead, and then when he raised from the dead, you and I has given us life. Amen. He has given us life. And thank God for our risen Savior is even stronger and more powerful from the sorrow and grief that I went through. Amen? I believe that some of us here this morning have experienced that sorrow. Not only that from our sin, but the things that we go through in life. And the Bible says that when we get to heaven, he will wipe away our what? Our tears. What does it mean? No more sorrow. When we go to heaven, right? When we are in heaven, there will be no more tears. That means while we are still here, is that what it says? That while we are still here, we're gonna cry. There's gonna be tears. It's okay for men to cry. It's healthy. It's good for your eyes. And for your heart too. Amen. I think that's very, very encouraging for me. That even though Christianity, they think that Christianity, man, it's hallelujah. I'm rich,
it's full of positive words, which is true. But remember, as long as we are here, there will be tears coming out from our eyes. There is some joy.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Pat. Amen. But it's not the smoke gets into your eyes. Amen. But that sorrow is bad. But fear and anxiety, that's something else. That's the second powerful source that paralyzes us. Fear, that night, the very same day that Mary saw Jesus, they were locked in that room for fear. Amen? In verse 19, it says, on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the door should be locked, not clocked, for fear of the Jews. See, fear, anxiety, sorrow, but something else is fear is something else. It just paralyzes you, the fear of what will happen to your children, fear that might happen, what will happen tomorrow, and fear. See, now fear is even heavier, because that fear that the ISIS will come in and they think that they believe that the already ISIS is here, that's added to the fear that we have in here in the United States. Amen. Listen, the enemy has 1,000 things to suggest to get us to fear. And a lot of people walking around, but inside is full of fear. I don't know if you noticed that. Even this election, fear is used in politics, because those are real. Amen. So the reason Jesus appeared to his disciple, locked in the room, here he told them that they are going to spread the message, right? They are really to get out there and tell the people. But they were locked inside the room. 3 days ago, they saw Jesus insulted. 3 days ago, they saw Jesus crucified. And 3 days ago, they saw Jesus Christ was murdered. And now, they're supposed to go out and preach into the world, into the city, and the highways and byways in his name. So, What would you be thinking if it's your in your case? That people is gonna kill you when you start preaching the gospel. So they were afraid of the Jewish authority. They were afraid of the Romans. They were afraid about tomorrow, what they gonna do. So when you are messed up, and what could happen is fear is messing up again and could happen. And they were all denied the Lord. They thought they were just strong, but when Jesus was arrested, what happened to them, they all ran away. So fear is powerful. Amen? You can have fear when you're trying to preach. You can have fear when you're in front of people. You can have fear when even in a Bible study. You can have fear when you testify. See, you can have fear in prayer meeting. Fear is, the list is endless. Amen? But there is what Jesus said to them. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. What are you afraid of? I'm alive. I'm here and I am with you. And I have something you do too. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. But you are not going to do it when you are locked in fear." So that, just think of the day that we live in. Terrorism. Oh man, that's the number one issue in the politics today. Fear. Bigger than any mountain. Come on, he said, he is alive and live forevermore. Hallelujah. Come on, can say amen for that? That he's alive and alive forevermore. And let's affirm that, because that's true. Amen. So the disciple has to be set free from the lock, from the room inside in a locked door, locked room. Amen. So the first forces that will prevent you in experiencing the miracle of resurrection is what? Sorrow. Sorrow is something that will paralyze you. And then number two forces that will prevent you from experiencing the resurrection Sunday is what? Fear. Fear. So sorrow is different, but fear is different. And then the last one is for Thomas. So fear, sorrow afflicted Mary, very incapacitating, and fear paralyzed the disciples. But then doubts. Number three forces that will prevent you from experiencing the miracle of Resurrection Sunday is doubts. That's the last one. Amen. The reason Jesus has to face the other thing that holds us, many of us, is doubt. What was Thomas called through in history now? Doubting Thomas. He might call doubting Ed. He might call you doubting whatever your name is. He couldn't fail. Right? It says in verse 26 of John chapter 10, chapter 20, it says, "Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciple when Jesus came. So the other disciple told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his side and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it.' A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Put your finger here, see my hand, reach out and your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe.'" It's just down on me when I was reading it again this morning. These are the men who are living with him for more than 3 years. Now Peter and John and James and Matthew, Thomas knows this man. They came and said, "We saw Jesus. He came into this room, and although the door was locked, he saw him. We are not making this up. Thomas, do you know how stubborn doubt can be? Doubt is it will steal your blessing from the Lord. It's either they had to testify to what Jesus had done, and they don't believe. He doesn't believe. Doubt stops us by receiving what the Lord can do. Even though there others are drawing the blessing of the grace of God. So Thomas, for the whole week, they continually tried to persuade him. And when they have seen it, continually took his attitude. He said, "Guys, if you can save your breath until I see the nail prints, until I put my fingers in his side, I will not believe." So, and a week later, living with this doubt, the Lord appeared in the room, and then Thomas was there and immediately went to Thomas. "Peace be still. Peace be with you, Thomas. Look, Thomas, I live, Thomas. I'm alive and alive forevermore." And by the way, my brothers and sisters, when we get to heaven, Jesus still have the nail prints in his hand. And imagine all through eternity, that's probably we never cease worshiping him, just praising him every glance we have for him. Because every time we just hold up his head, we see the nail print. It reminds us that it was bore for us. He said to Thomas, "Look, put your hand." And Thomas, when he saw it, he said to Jesus Christ, "My Lord and my God." And the Bible tells us that Jesus said these words, that this is the word to all of us, those who are bothered by doubts. Who say it could not be true? I have questions about the Bible. I don't understand it, Pastor Ed. I hear you say about this and about that, but it is really true. It is really true. I know what others have testified, but could that really happen to me? Do you know that God is a miracle God? And sometimes when we don't understand, when we are not really expecting in the way how he does the miracle in our life. It's a miracle that we are here this morning. Amen? Every day, it's a miracle in each one of us. I know the Bible that seek first the kingdom and everything will follow through. But is that really true, Pastor Ed? I bet you some of you this morning, there is that question. Is that really true? The Bible is true? But Jesus said to Thomas, is what I'm going to say to you. Thomas, have faith and stop doubting. He did not say to Thomas, "I really feel for you. I understand how hard it is for you." But no. When it comes to doubting the reality of God's promises and the reality of our risen Christ, Jesus, take of the business. Thomas, stop doubting. Thomas, I'm alive and I'm alive forevermore. There's no impossible with God. And his word is true. Every promise is true. Amen? Here's what I want to say to you this morning. Stop doubting. God will not let you do unless he will provide for you. Amen? I could not be standing here before you this morning if I have doubts in the calling of God in my life. Because He is the one that provides. Amen. And the same thing with you. He's the one that provides for Sister Rose. He's the one that provides for Brother Ray and for Brother Ken and for Brother Wynn, for Sister Becky and all of us. See, when He called us, He provided us the ammunition on what He's asking for us is to believe and not doubt. Amen. Amen. Sister Pia, I heard that big amen. When God asked you to pray. Amen. When God calls you, He provides ammunition for you. Amen. I'm just blessed that you know, if I think about it, you know what, I never dream in my life to be sharing the word of God with you this morning. See, my desire when I was in the Philippines is that I'm going to be working in Central Bank in the Philippines. Central Bank, but never materialized. Do you know why I would like to be in the Central Bank? Because I read the wealth of Marcos is too much. Do you know who is the richest country in the Philippines? Does anybody know? The richest country in the in the whole world? Anybody? Philippines. And do you know who said that? President W. Bush. He was asked, he said that, who is the richest country in the whole world? He said, Philippines is the richest country. Now, at this present, only Philippines have a gold deposit in response to the money that is being issued. Because normally, when you issue money, you should have a gold reserve. This country, nada. United States. But Philippines, Google that in your cell phone. The wealth that ever have in one country is in the Philippines. 60% is in Geneva. Do you know where the 40% is? It's located at the bottom of the Central Bank. Gold, I mean literally gold. Gold bars. But then I was not able to get in a job in Central Bank. So but God, go back to John chapter 20, and the last one it says, but for this is written, the verse, this is written, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have what? Life. Life forevermore. Amen? It's better than riches. Amen? Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah. Did you get that, Brother Wayne? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How many of you got that three forces that we have that's deny you from the miracle, from the power of the resurrection, the power of Jesus Christ? Oh, hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for the truth that set us free, Father God. And Lord, this morning, we believe, Lord God. We don't have doubts, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the risen Christ, Lord. The Christ that on the third day rose again from the dead. And that when He rose, Lord. He took us, Lord. And to be risen that we may have life and life abundantly, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word. Seal it, Lord. Seal it in our heart, Lord God, that we will never doubt, Lord, anymore, forevermore. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God. And thank you, God, for the tithes and offering you have given to us, given to the church this morning, Lord God. And Father, we pray that you multiply it, Lord, 20, 30, 50, and even 100-fold, Lord God. And Father, we thank you for the generosity of my brothers and sisters to your kingdom, Father God. Because you have blessed them, Lord. They experience blessings upon blessings, Lord, in their life, Father God. And Lord, we are coming and bringing, Lord, this tithes and offering with a joyful heart. And Father, we thank you and we worship you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.